Hey guys, welcome back to Even More News, the first and, you guessed it, only news podcast.
Whoa, okay, all right. Hi. My name's
Katie, Katie Stoll.
Hi, I'm Cody Johnston.
Hi, Cody.
Cody Johnston, yeah.
You know what I'm not going to do today?
What's up?
I am not going to wish everybody a happy 4th of July.
Okay, rude.
Of reasons we'll talk about in a moment.
Oh, fun.
But, you know, we obviously started this podcast years ago, and
yeah.
I randomly decided, hey, I'm going to start every episode of this podcast by wishing everybody whatever holiday it is. So I feel like I have to continue honoring that.
Yeah, every time.
Every time. But instead of wishing you guys a happy 4th of July, in case you're feeling a little less patriotic this year, I'm going to wish you a very happy National Caesar Salad Day, because I bet you did not know that July 4th is also National Caesar Salad Day. So
I didn't know that.
You didn't know, you know.
I do now know. It doesn't change my plans at all.
Which is to do nothing?
Which is... Well, my plans were to not have a salad today.
Oh, okay.
Regardless of the type. Well, I guess, do I have to have a salad on Caesar Salad Day? Is it just like awareness?
It's awareness. You don't have to. I mean, you could think about Caesar salads and what they've done for you in your life.
I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm willing to help
you
raise awareness.
Not really. It's not a healthy salad.
No, it's not really.
Maybe if you add some protein to it, but...
I won't be
I'm
doing
a vegetarian,
that.
So I'm not advocating a chicken Caesar salad.
Well, I'm not having a salad today, so I'm not advocating a chicken Caesar salad either.
All right. It's also National Hop a Park Day.
And oh, let's do that.
I don't know what hopping a park exactly means. Is it hopping from one theme park to another? Is it like hopping around a park?
It's probably not hopping around a park. Like a game, like hippity hop around the park.
Hippity hop around the park. July 4th, it'll be a lark.
Is that the phrase of the holiday? Is the holiday actually called Hippity Hop Around the Park?
No, that's just the song that goes with the holiday that I just made up.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, then, I mean, obviously I celebrate that.
Hippity hop around the park. It's July 4th. Uh-huh. We'll have a lark. Caesar salad in my belly. What's that do? Well, let me tell you. It makes you healthy. It makes you poop. If you're hungry afterward, have a scoop of ice cream.
So you have a salad, and then you poop out that salad, and then you have ice cream.
No, you're missing a step. You have a salad. You hit
uh-huh,
and
you work it off.
The
you work. You work the salad
as a lark.
Off, uh-huh. And
you
then
work
you
it
have
off.
The ice cream.
And then you poop. Well you poop because you've done all of that rigorous activity on a salad, and it's your tummy feels weird. And then you comfort yourself with a scoop of ice cream. The age-old tradition of celebrating July 4th.
I think it's. Well, we've been it's doing probably just like you hop, you like bar hopping, but with parks.
Yeah. Well, we can't go to theme parks, so we have to think outside the box here.
Speaking of long pause while I try to think of a transition and then fail, something about bunnies. Bunny stuff. It's time for an ad. You go.
Hi. Yes, okay. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare premium membership for free at Skillshare.com/news.
Wait. Don't go. There's more. Hi. Wow. Jeez. Hey, well, it's this part of it. And you betcha. Thanks to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting Even More News. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. And get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/evenmore.
Tight, tight, tight. Do that. Have fun with it. Okay, time to get real and level with you guys for a second. It's important. It's time. We recorded just such a good episode for you guys yesterday with Joelle Leon, who is just just an astounding human. Just he's a storyteller and an incredible speaker. We had this lovely conversation about the 4th of July, about what this country represents, what it is we're celebrating, what we could be celebrating.
What is freedom?
What is freedom? What does that mean? And unfortunately, we had technical difficulties and the audio is lost and unsalvageable. Oh my God, it breaks my heart even saying that. I cried. I cried so hard yesterday.
I vouch for that. I agree.
It was a bad moment.
It's a bummer. I was like, well, we finished the episode. And I was like, that was really good.
I think it's the best episode we've ever done.
I know. It was really good.
Well, what's interesting about it is we treated this a little bit more like an interview. We definitely talked about news stories, but in the context of a larger conversation, and was really proud of it. So this was a big heartbreak, but it's okay, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like what?
Well, yeah.
We lost some audio. And
grand scheme of things, sure.
We're going to have him on next week, and we can't recreate that magic, but it will be its own magic, and we will definitely cover some of the topics that we explored. In the meantime, I think you guys should really go check him out online, get familiar with his work. In the episode, he said, he vaguely said, you guys follow Billy, watch Billy Eichner's feed tomorrow. And after we lost the audio, he told me that he is taking over Billy Eichner's Instagram and Twitter feeds and everything today, July 3rd. So go check him out, check Billy Eichner out, and then stay tuned because we will have Joelle back. That said, this episode is going to be different. Cody and I are just going to chat for a little bit, and then we are going to put the audio from our Police Riots YouTube video on this feed for you guys to listen to.
A lot of people will put up the YouTube show in earbuds or your phones.
We've avoided doing that because there's just always so much to talk about, and it's you know. And
we've gotten requests before. Like, hey, just put the show on the feed. It's once a week.
So we're using this as an opportunity to experiment with that while also not recording a whole other hour long episode.
Right, and acknowledging it was. Yeah, we did this thing, and it was ready, and it was good. And
yeah.
It was lovely.
Cody.
And we'll do it again.
Yeah.
Yes?
I wanted to see how you're doing. It's been a minute since it's just been the two of us.
That's true.
At least on the actual podcast.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
Oh, you know, I'm okay. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. An honest answer.
My sleep's not great. But it never has been.
That's for sure.
It's worse now, I'd say, probably. But you know, I'm all right.
I've been having a hard time. Thanks for asking.
Stop. I was about to ask, and you interrupted me very rudely.
I know.
Allow me to perform me asking.
Go ahead,
Katie.
Yeah,
that was really nice of you to ask me how I was doing. And I just wanted to know. Like, how are you doing?
I'm having a hard time.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm okay, all things considered. But yeah, it's a struggle. You know, I've said this so many times, some weeks are easier than other weeks. I have been feeling my anxiety a lot. And you know that as friends, but I'm sharing it with everybody here in case you are also experiencing that. It sneaks up on me. I feel it in my chest. I have a hard time breathing all of a sudden. And it can be like a really simple thing that sends me into that space. But I'm okay. I'm sitting with that. I've been meditating a bit more using the Calm app, which is not a sponsor, but I can tell you is pretty helpful if anybody is experiencing that.
No.
And part of the
Only sponsors.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, maybe Calm will sponsor us. I do not have a promo code for you. But it is at least partly fueled because here in Los Angeles, we are seeing a really big spike in cases. And all across the country, we're seeing a spike. And it's the 4th of July weekend. And that's depressing because what is it that we're celebrating? Mm. But yeah, it feels different. At the beginning of stay-at-home orders, it was scary in its own unique way. But everybody was, at least in LA, felt like they were taking it pretty seriously and like staying inside and avoiding going places. And now it feels hard to tell who's paying attention right now to the fact that our cases, that where our hospital beds are almost at capacity in Los Angeles. You cannot get a test. It's nearly impossible to get a test.
I mean, we have, there are, was it 1% of the globe? Is in
I
LA?
Don't know.
I think 1% of 1% of cases around the world are in LA County, I believe.
It's just, it's scary. And I have faith that we can pull it together. I have faith that LA will, you know, act more responsibly than some other places in our country, which are also experiencing a huge surge. I mean, Arizona and Texas are incredibly scary places to be right now. And if any of our listeners are there, please, please, please be safe and careful. So I think that that's part of what I'm feeling right now. And just,
sure.
But I'm okay outside of that, you know. I'm grateful for the things that I have going on. But yeah, I do want to talk about the 4th of July before we give you this police riot video, audio video. It's just, it's hard. I think that we have an opportunity this year to sit with these conversations we've been having and use the 4th not to just tune out and celebrate. If you live someplace that have fireworks, not just be distracted by the fireworks, but to think about what America is since the beginning. You know, Joelle said something yesterday, our system isn't broken. This is the way it was designed. And I've been thinking about that. Of course, but like, yeah, we always say the system's broken and we're all seeing it for the first time. It's like, no, this is exactly the way it was designed to be. You know, black people did not count as a full person.
Yeah, I mean, it's not funny on its face, but it's like a farce on its face that you have the phrase all men are created equal. And then you're literally saying that they're not at the same time.
When we talk about the Second Amendment, you know, people are like, we have to honor the Constitution. Our founding fathers knew what they were doing. Our founding fathers were slave owners. Our founding fathers did not actually think that all men were created equal. And another thing we talked about yesterday was how almost willfully ignored that for so many years, or when approaching the 4th of July. Like, yeah. The 4th of July has always been one of my favorite holidays. It's fun. You're with friends. You get to eat barbecue and drink That's beer true. And watch fireworks and play in a pool. And
I always thought it was stupid.
Good for you. I mean, like, over the last few years, I'd certainly
I'm not
thought about
that.
It differently. But, like, you separate it. You're like, this is a fun holiday. And you separate that experience from the reality of what the holiday means. And I urge us all, since there's not much else we can do, to think about that. And if you are with your families, to have these conversations that are tricky, to really sit in this and process some of the lessons that we've been working on as a country over the past couple months.
Yeah, this is actually, it's an interesting time because this is, like, a lot of this stuff we've talked about for quite a long time, but it's a unique moment for those kinds of conversations with family members.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what you're sort of alluding to, like, I think people are sort of, I get primed for, like, this kind of information at this point. For a lot of reasons, which I won't go into because, come on.
Yeah.
What are we doing? You've heard this podcast before. Using this opportunity to talk to people and point those things out to.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you completely, obviously. Before we get to the episode, I also want to briefly talk about Trump's 4th of July rally that he's having today, Friday the 3rd. At Mount Rushmore. And I think that's important for many reasons. Well, first off, it's important to note, like we said, coronavirus cases are having a huge surge. I mean, his rally last week or whenever it was a total disaster. Not just because not as many people showed up, because still thousands and thousands of people showed up.
Well, the people that did show up didn't wear masks or
they
think
didn't wear masks.
The virus was real. So Herman Cain got it.
I mean, so many people from Trump's campaign have tested positive now. They literally removed social distancing signs so that he could make the crowd look bigger. And here he is doing it again. But he's not just having another rally. He is having a rally at Mount Rushmore. And this is important because, well, first of all, we're having the globally, we're having a conversation about racist monuments. And Rushmore itself is a racist monument. Outside of the fact that it's like this larger than life depiction of slave owners. Mm-hmm. Also, Abraham Lincoln, who was definitely racist. Everybody talks about Abraham Lincoln being, you know, the savior of black people. Well, no, his big plan to end the Civil War was to try to send black people back to Africa. Let's just remove them from the equation. Problem solved.
Yeah, it's easier. You just don't have to, you don't have to think
about
it.
But even outside of that,
out of sight, out of mind, Katie. Out of
apparently,
sight, out of mind.
But Rushmore was built in the Black Hills of South Dakota, which is sacred land to Native Americans. And it is land that white people stole from them. And I mean literally stole. This is from a PBS article. In the Treaty of 1868, the U.S. government promised the Sioux territory that included the Black Hills in perpetuity. Perpetuity lasted only until gold was found in the mountains and prospectors migrated there in the 1870s. The federal government then forced the Sioux to relinquish the Black Hills portion of their reservation. So even outside of that, okay, we stole it from them.
Gold's good, though. I want gold.
Sure, gold is good. Cash
Take
for
it.
Gold.
Go get the gold. Come on.
It was built by someone who might not have been an active KKK member, at the very least had very deep ties to the KKK. They even helped fund the project.
Yeah, they did.
And I say all of this because our president knows all this, or at least somebody on his team does. And it's a very purposeful choice to have made during this specific point in history.
I mean, they were trying to do Tulsa on Juneteenth. Yeah. And then people got mad, so they stopped. And this is another one. I think because also Mount Rushmore is not, people don't know this kind of stuff or care for the most part. Like, they're not like, oh, I wonder who made Mount Rushmore,
right.
You know, to them, it's just like the president's head. So to him, I don't even know if he's like doing this on purpose, aside from being like vaguely aware that like there's a culture war thing about monuments going on. Because to him, it's like, no, there are four presidents on the mountain. It's cool. Look at me. I'm a president now, too. Look at me in front of the mountain. So I think it's effective in, like, people, because on the surface, people don't care. Yeah. The people that are going to be there and the people that, like, need to learn about it. And the people who know about it are mad, and that makes them happy, too.
Yeah.
That's the goal with a lot of this stuff, is it's like, I'm going to make them mad and I'm going to shout in front of the president for these other people. So yeah, it's kind of the perfect, place for him to do it. Smart guy. I love him. one thing I wanted to mention about, Rushmore that I think is interesting. Everyone's like, oh, of course they're going to come from Mount Rushmore. And it's like, well, yeah, we've talked about it for a long time, and you can't just like say like, The precious freedom statue in the mountain, because that's not what it is. But also, so first of all, Mount Rushmore looks
really
stupid.
Dumb.
We always see photos of it, and it's the close up of the faces, right? It's like, oh, look at the faces on the mountain. If you zoom out, if you pull out, it's very silly looking. Those faces are very small on a mountain. It looks very silly. But also, aside from everything you said about the gold and the taking the land and the racism and all those things, Mount Rushmore was like a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
That's what they planned to do. It was like, we want people to come here where this is. So what are we going to do? We're going to carve something in this mountain. What are we going to carve? Originally, it was going to be Black Hill Rocks, which is like a rock formation nearby. And so they were just going to have a depiction of this other rock formation carved into the mountain. It's not even like a, there's no like presidential American freedom reason that it even exists. It's wild. Just a tourist
also,
attraction.
We're gonna,
and they changed it from rocks
we're
to
We're going
to
carve rocks into this rock. Rocks that you can mm-hmm. see very close by this rock. So
oh, yeah.
dumb.
That's America.
Take something
time.
That's perfect and ruin it. That is America.
Yeah. Yeah, they really, yeah. You really got to make it look pretty ugly. But yeah, so it's like, then they're like, oh, let's put presidents on instead. And so they did that. So the whole thing is silly. So I understand the impulse of like, you want to destroy this, you get rid of this. I don't understand the reverence for these sort of things. Because we've built up this narrative that they're meaningful and important, other than just like, yeah, look at them. It's the president's faces. It was supposed to be a tourist attraction to bring in the Gold Mountain that they stole from Native Americans. Like, it's just, what history? What are you talking about?
Yeah. And you pointed this out yesterday in the Lost Files, but so many of these monuments were built in the 60s as a response to the Civil Rights Movement. Not Rushmore, in general.
But like a lot of the racist statues that are going up, people are like, oh, the history. Well,
exactly.
What
history are we talking about?
they just went up to make black people uncomfortable in public spaces. That's why they exist. So take them down. Also, in this, I hit on this a little bit in the episode that we're going to play for people. But like, it's this reverence for history in a way that like ignores a big aspect of history, which is that like history is violent, and it's forged in blood and fire, right? That's what history is. And so I there were people who were so mad about like this vandalism and statues and like, oh, they did this. Like, if you go to a monument, like a national monument or something, and they're doing a tour, they'll be like, oh, so this is this statue moving. And here's a little story about this, moving on. Or now they'll say, here's this statue. It was torn down.
It's also
because
history.
Of this.
This is also
this
history.
It's
part of the history of this story.
Like the church that got not even burnt down. It just like got there's like a little fire in the church by the White House. Like even that, like being upset about that, it's like, yeah. So at the tour, they'll be like, this was renovated after a fire, after civil unrest, when an unarmed black man was murdered by the police. Like, that's a historical,
it's all important
event.
History doesn't stop happening. It's continuing to be made.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's a really good point. That's a good point that you can bring up with your relatives on the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, like how do they view history or how do they view all the things? I don't know.
All right, we are going to wrap this part up.
Listen.
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap this part up.
I also want to just say that we have another very long video coming out in the next few days. It is about systemic racism and pushing back on all of the, we'll say, grifters who try to make the case that racism doesn't exist anymore, that we solved it.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a little Benny Shapps. We got a little
Jordy Peets.
Jordy Peets. We got a little
Davey Rubes.
David Rubies.
All
the
your favorite
all the
cast of characters. We wanted to have that out this week, but it's gonna be at least an hour, I think. So those take a little bit of time. And what even is time these days? Am I right?
Wowie and heckaroo.
All right, guys. Thank you. For listening, continue to listen to the episode that we're presenting. We apologize for technical difficulties.
We'll have them back again.
Work from home, shruggy face emoji.
Is that available? Did they release that emoji?
There's a shruggy emoji.
Just the standard.
You don't know
shruggy.
Because you have an Android.
It's not specifically work. But it's not specifically work from home shruggy.
No,
it's
but I've used it a lot with work from home
if
problems.
If you send it from home,
I do.
Then it's a work from home shruggy.
As well as the one where she's got her, or he, you know, they, them, whomever, but they've got the face plant thing, that like hand palm to the face.
Yeah, face palm.
I use that one a lot. Okay, we're just chatting now. Let's get to the episode.
End of this segment.
Wait.
Thank you. What?
We love you guys very much.
Very much.
Wow. If you thought that was the first part earlier, you'll think, oh my holy wowee, it's the second part now. Now. Because, heck, would you look at this with your ears? We're here to tell you about how Skillshare can help you learn new skills, deepen your existing passions, and get lost in creativity. So yeah, maybe try Skillshare maybe, huh? How about it? It's an online learning community where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and more.
The classes are $10 a month and are designed for real life and creative endeavors, which some would likely posit are the same thing. For example, one creative endeavor of mine was using Skillshare's animation class on a plugin called Duik to make Snoofle Doofle and Professor Seeds von Greasy. And if they're not real life, I don't know what is. Although, I guess the distinction is that a class like, say, Simple Productivity, How to Accomplish More with Less, can be applied to many aspects of life, and Snoofle Doofle cannot.
Cody, please stop saying Snoofle Doofle. Anyway, Skillshare's classes are streamlined and easy to use, and their teachers are quite helpful, which is why Skillshare is a proud sponsor of Even More News. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/news and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/news. That's skillshare.com/news.
Another one. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness also from home or doing any number of other things from home, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your neighbor standing a safe 6 feet away is listening to. So if you're into wireless earbuds, maybe get these wireless earbuds into you.
Gross, Cody. Gross. Well. But also, yes, we teamed up with Raycon and they're offering 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/evenmore. They are extremely comfortable, perfect for doing the long list of things one can do with listening devices, like...
You don't need to give a list. I will not be reading a list okay. of things people can listen to. But, unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. You'll notice that in the early episodes of Even More News, Katie would always say, "Cody, what were you saying? I couldn't focus because of your dangling earphone wires." But not anymore. Also, the company was founded by Ray J, so...
Yeah, Cardi B is apparently obsessed with Raycons.
They also started about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Their everyday E25 model, which I have in my ears right now, have 6 hours of playtime and also let me hear things. Get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/evenmore. That's buyraycon.com/evenmore for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. That's buyraycon.com/evenmore. Bye. Hi, here's some news. In case you're waking up from, like, the best coma, on May 25th, a Delhi employee called 911 on a man named George Floyd, who was accused of buying cigarettes with a counterfeit $20 bill. And so, as a response, the police murdered him in front of many bystanders, security cameras, and broad... fucking daylight. Officer Derek Chauvin, whose wife once bounced a $42 check and didn't get murdered, pinned Mr. Floyd down on the pavement, planted his knee on his neck, and kept it there for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, while his fellow officers Thomas Lane, J. Alexander Kweng, and Tao Thao just watched and did nothing, until George Floyd died after begging for his life and calling out for his mother, and then losing consciousness, and then having Derek Chauvin's knee continue to be on his neck until 1 minute after the paramedics arrived. This murder technique is something called prone restraint, a move that is, for some reason, legal for a cop to do in Minneapolis, despite wide condemnation for it, and experts knowing, since at least the 1990s, that it can easily kill a suspect if applied for extended periods. You know, like for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Meaning that there's absolutely no way that all four officers involved weren't aware that they were literally killing a man on the street.
Also, prone restraint and the dangers are specifically related to kneeling on the back and not the goddamn neck. And this is already super depressing. So, it's time for an ad. Okay, so today's episode is sponsored by the hit show Bosch. Check it out on, they're not going to like sue us for pretending that they sponsor us. We're just trying to cut the tension of this depressing subject by mentioning a cop show with a funny name. So everyone check out Bosch, I fucking guess. Promo code Bosch to get a discount on Bosch. It's the Boschiest. Get your Bosch on. Anywho, the four officers involved were promptly arrested. Fired the next day for doing a murder. Now, aside from the fact that getting fired from being a cop for being abusive or a murderer has never stopped them from getting another job elsewhere as a cop, then, finally, 3 days after that, someone got around to arresting Derek Chauvin for that murder I just mentioned. As for the other three officers, as far as we know, none of them are facing charges and are currently in hiding. But I guess have totally learned their lesson, right? That lesson being to not assist in the murder of an unarmed man in the street. Also, apparently Chauvin and Floyd had worked together previously and may have known each other before the murder, which is actually not surprising considering more than 50% of homicides are committed against victims who know the murderer. So, another statistic. Math. Math can't be bad. It's how we, yeah, so I guess fuck all this right into the ground. To make room for more of this kind of stuff, because this is an ongoing situation and there's just so much to cover right now that when this video goes out, we're no doubt gonna have all kinds of new, horrible, and probably scary and upsetting stuff to slop into the fuck everything soup. Just ladles of it. Drippy ladles. Just slurp it up. For example, as of this video's writing, we're getting news of David McCaddy, an unarmed black man and Louisville business owner who was just shot and killed by police and the National Guard during the ensuing protests. His murdered body was then reportedly left in the streets for 12 hours after being murdered by police, who left their body cameras off while they murdered an unarmed man at a protest against police brutality. So, fuck, is I guess my general point for this introduction. But I guess George Floyd had a pre-existing health condition and maybe some intoxicants in his body, so it's okay after all. Never mind, everyone. Let's all go home. It's totally fine now. Good work, news. If only he had exercised more, he wouldn't have died from having a knee hold down on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, which he didn't die from. Except, oh wait, he did. Maybe stop listening to that first guy, huh? Anyway, thanks that guy and the media. I'm sure you'll be a real beacon of light as we continue to dive into this situation. Holy crap. This is just going to be the worst. Like I haven't even gotten to all the fascism stuff yet. But don't worry. I will. So, let's get into this. Let us blast into the never-ending hellhole that is our current and unfortunately only reality. At least until I get my Stargate running, which is what I call the hula hoop I like to cry into. See, we have this thing in America, and, you know, other countries, but, you know, America mostly, where if you're a person of color, typically a black man, the police treat you a tad differently. For a quick recap, please Google the names Philando Castile, Michael Brown, Walter Scott, Breonna Taylor, Tatiana Jefferson, Oscar Grant, Tamir Rice, Matthew Ajibade, Patterson Brown Jr., William Chapman, Kevin Matthews, Michael Noel, Jamar Clark, Christian Taylor, Darius Stewart, Tanisha Anderson, Sean Bell, Charles Kinsey, Willie McCoy, Jonathan Farrell, Stephen Clark, Randolph Evans, Terrence Crutcher, Timothy Stansbury, and Jeremy McDowell. The last guy there was a paraplegic who the cops shot in his wheelchair. But hey, the governor found that one deeply troubling. So it's fine. Also, like hundreds of other people every year, I didn't have time to mention. At a disproportionate rate, in fact. This video could just be me saying names of unarmed black Americans who have been shot and killed by the police, sometimes while running away. You know how, like, you see someone run away from you, and you're like, I'm in danger! And you shoot them in the back, dead? It's called the protect and serve method. Did I mention that all of these above names are unarmed Black Americans? I feel like that's something we'll just jot that down. Also, we had slavery for 246 years, followed by segregation for 89 years after that until 1954, also known as about 90% of the time white people have been in America. But after that, that's no more racism after that, right? It was gone. We did it. I mean, except for the fact that African Americans are locked up 5 times more than white Americans, and the long and extremely trackable history of hate crimes and police brutality and all that. So it's super weird that everyone is really upset about the shooting of this one guy, right? I mean, geez, think of the property damage, people. And what of our precious history? You know, the one that includes 246 years of slavery, followed by 89 years of segregation. Also, like, you know when historic landmarks get burnt and renovated or preserved, and you go on a tour, and the guide is like, here's this, it was renovated after massive unrest over the murder of an unarmed Black man. Or see how it's still burnt. It was burnt during massive unrest over the murder of an unarmed Black man. That's history. History is blood and fire. Why do you care so much? Speaking of fire, the protests. And before we really get into it, I just want to acknowledge that some of what you see and hear in terms of what's going on in the protests and what people have to say about the protests are going to be eerily familiar, because we've been here before, not just about our history, but literally 6 years ago. These are the same conversations, the same dishonest arguments from lifelong defenders of racist murderers, the same disturbing images, the same cops tear gassing a crowd as soon as they see a water bottle hit the sky, the same onslaught of misinformation, the same videos edited by fascist propagandists intended to make people appear like the victims of the mob, only to be revealed that they were trying to stab people with a knife, or shoot everybody with a compound bow, or stab everybody with a machete. A lot of stabbing. I wonder what our leadership thinks should happen in that situation.
And the idea that instead of standing there and teaching a cop who is an unarmed person of coming at him with a knife or something to shoot him in the leg instead of in the heart is a very different thing.
But anyway, the protests, the riots. If you read the news, there's one phrase that is going to be used to characterize the protests, and that is looting, comma, violence. Looting, comma, violence, drown out peaceful George Floyd protests in Philadelphia, says NBC Philadelphia. Looting, comma, violence in Boston led to 53 people arrested, police officers and bystanders injured during bedlam that caused untold economic damages, Mayor Marty Walsh says, reports Massachusetts Live. Looting, comma, vandalism break out in Chicago suburbs amid protests in wake of George Floyd's death. Curfews implemented for many surrounding areas, reports ABC Chicago. Cleanup begins in Atlantic City after looting, comma, violence erupts following peaceful protest. Curfew stays in place, says NewJersey.com. But don't worry, some news outlets buck that trend, at least grammatically. Bay Area cities order curfews amid fallout from looting and violence. Prepare for more protests, says Mercury News. The Pantograph got a bit more creative with their writing, saying looters swarm Target, Walmart, other stores in Bloomington Normal. It's senseless. It's sad. So if you get your information about the protests from the news, the main takeaway, looting, comma, violence, and looting and violence are bad. So protesters must be bad. But maybe this is an issue that deserves a bit more scrutiny than these headlines would seem to suggest. And before I get into this, I want to make something very clear. Human lives are more important than property. Now, I'm going to say that every minute or so throughout this whole section, because it seems like a lot of the media and politicians seem to forget that. Forget what? That maybe human lives are more important than property. For example, our stupid vice president is seen here championing peaceful protest, despite going to a football game, knowing that there will be a peaceful protest so that he can walk out on it. But despite that, you know, we don't tolerate violence against property or people. And it's really interesting that he chose to put property first. Also, it's really interesting that he put or between them, one or the other, property or people. I wonder which one he will choose. anyway. So obviously, most protesters are not looting. Some protesters actively oppose looting and try to stop it. But to spend the whole time trying to combat the media narrative by observing that, most of the protesters aren't looting, it completely misses the point. And that point, first of all, is that human lives are more important than property. But for some reason, looting and rioting, the destruction of property, is held up as the ultimate evil. Whereas police violence, killing and theft of money and property, is seen as somehow justifiable.
But Cody, you can't be saying that looting is good.
It's a straw man. This is straw man. Now, I have not been talking to inanimate objects in my apartment, by the way. Thank you very much. And even if I have been doing that, it is normal and fine. You're doing very well. Anyway, one of the problems is when media or officials reference looters or rioters without any context. When people who are facing police violence, racism, and oppression, who are now being crushed financially because they can't earn money during the pandemic and the government refuses to cancel rent or offer actual welfare or paid sick leave, loot a Target, which, by the way, is insured, without injuring anyone. Is that evil? Is that comparable to the loss of human life when police kill black people in the streets? Does that justify police brutality against protesters? Is it evil when people take those stolen goods and set up mutual aid outside, offering water, milk, and other supplies to protesters? Something that actually happened? Or is that an act of reclaiming some power when you have your rights and ability to thrive taken from you by institutions such as the, police? Now, obviously, there are times when looting and property destruction affects more vulnerable people, like small local shops. But notice how the media focuses almost exclusively on property destruction, often conflating vandalism and property theft with generic violence, not specifying that violence in this case means graffiti, broken windows, or tearing down racist statues. This primes us to categorize violence against human beings as the same as violence against property. And, you know, maybe now is a good time to point out again that that human lives are more important than property. In addition to some of the media trying to portray all protesters as rioters and looters, there's also the more liberal media, which takes pains to say that peaceful protesters are good, but those evil looters are ruining it for the rest of them. A peaceful protest, then looting on Van Nuys Boulevard, says the LA Times. There are anarchists, Minnesota officials say. Outside agitators are hijacking peaceful protests, says USA Today. Now, it may seem harmless to just call out the bad rioters, but this narrative is actually pretty insidious. First, it makes us accept the assumption that rioters are throwaway humans. They don't deserve to be heard. They're all outside agitators. They're bad. Evil people. Now, sure, some of the rioters could be mean people. Some rioters could be white supremacists who purposefully infiltrate protests to try to start violence. Some of them may even be cops who try to instigate riots. There are even videos of cops breaking windows. I guess that really gives broken window policing a new meaning, huh? 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 You get it? They're abusing their power in order to instigate more violence, is my point. Anyway, many rioters are people who are genuinely angry at a society that has failed them. This can come in the form of looting and smashing windows, but people are also destroying property in a way that is sending a political message, such as destroying police vehicles and stations, graffitiing police departments with messages decrying police violence, and spray painting red paint to symbolize blood in the hands of a police station, serve and protect statue. Many of these riotous actions are dismissed even though they have a clear political message. Sometimes rioting represents people who are angry after seeing another black person murdered in cold blood by police. People who are angry that they have no income and no job and are forgotten in the trillion-dollar bailouts that don't seem to trickle down to them. People who have been ignored, abused, and systematically mistreated by those in power. But mostly the black person murdered in cold blood by police thing over and over again. And then brutalized in the streets when they protest about it. Outside agitators was a term used during the civil rights movement to discredit the civil rights movement. It wasn't genuine, see. It was It was the commies doing it.
So are you heaving a sigh of relief today that all this is moving out of your county now?
I hope it's over, but I doubt it. I think when Martin Luther King has used us as much as he wants to, then he'll move out.
What about the people who are left behind there now? Are they going to settle down again?
I'm sure that the local people will.
Mm-hmm. You think it's all been due to outsiders?
I think it's definitely been due to outsiders. I noticed yesterday in the march, a group of my friends and I stood there. We were able to count five local Negroes in the whole march.
Do you think there are many communists in this procession?
I think it's possibly made up of one-fourth communists and one-half non-communists.
Or I guess actually today we just say...
And they're probably also, I would bet, based on my experience, I'm not reading the intelligence today, or these days, but based on my experience, this is right out of the Russian playbook as well.
We can actually see this tactic from Republican and fascist prick Ted Cruz, who thinks there's some kind of dark money conspiracy behind all of this. He just can't possibly believe that people could be this angry about police brutality and racism. Nay, Ted Cruz of the Tea Party movement can't possibly believe that people could be this angry about something to make them do vandalism in an organized fashion. Now, to be clear, this is doubly funny because his movement was named after an act of patriotic vandalism, and also, it was an AstroTurf movement funded by dark money. But also, let's take a look at these smart questions that the U.S. Senator thinks that former NYPD police commissioner has. So, all across the country, at different times, for the same popular protest cause, almost 1,000 protesters faced off with police and Secret Service. At another place, at another time, a man danced in front of a flaming trash can while dressed like Elmo, awesome, but also suspicious, because when that was happening, or like around that time, or like maybe later on in the night or earlier, demonstrators spray-painted vulgarities on a police station in another city, and also somewhere else in Cleveland, businesses were ransacked while meanwhile, or around that time, or earlier, or not, Seattle had a curfew put in place at 5 p.m. But elsewhere, in a city nearby, they had an 8 p.m. curfew in place. And also, in Minneapolis, where this wacky mess began, a suspected looter was shot dead outside a pawn shop. And also in Dallas, a man was attacked and stomped by a group after defending a store with a large sword. So, like, is the point of the map that both sides are violent? Or are you saying that both sides are coordinating? Also, that sword guy wasn't defending a store. He was attacking people who were looting some store that wasn't his with a large sword. But anyway, my point is, Republican and fascist prick and Senator Ted Cruz thinks it's suspicious that people did a protest and they're really mad and it got out of hand. Like, how on earth could they have communicated in 2020? The adult man tweeted on the internet. Because actually, he doesn't think that. These aren't good questions from the former NYPD police commissioner. They just don't want to address the problem. Addressing the problem terrifies them. So they have to pretend it's all just, well, it's not real. It's other people. It's the deep state police. The deep state police. The point is, other people are doing it. Some unshady element from the outside, but within. Just listen to Democrat prick and Mayor Bill de Blasio.
Look, I've seen that video and I've obviously heard about a number of other incidents. It's inappropriate for protesters to surround a police vehicle and threaten police officers. That's wrong on its face. And that hasn't happened in the history of protest in this city. I've been watching protests for decades. People don't do that. And so it's clear that a different element has come into play here, who are trying to hurt police officers and trying to damage their vehicles.
Fascist nonsense that... Also, it's like a lie, aside from the fact that you don't have to drive from San Diego to Los Angeles in order to participate in one of these protests. Like, they're everywhere. But aside from that, the start of this narrative was when the Minneapolis mayor said that the majority of arrests were from people who did not live there. Journalists looked into that claim, found that it was false, and the mayor apologized, saying that it was information they got from the police being liars. Like, you know how if there's a revolt against an abuse of authority, maybe don't just blindly take the word of that authority. But anyway, you don't have to approve of looting or vandalism, or the kind of violence that can come from a population experiencing pain, anger, oppression, loss, or struggle. But don't dismiss it as not real. Martin Luther King was the champion of nonviolent protests, meaning the protesters were nonviolent, while the police were exceedingly violent. And he still understood and had compassion for people who rioted. And I must say tonight that a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice and humanity. If the language of the unheard keeps going unheard, how bad does the language have to get? Whatever criticism of riots one might have ignores any introspection and investigation into why people riot, why people risk going to prison, being beaten by police, or even being shot to voice their anger. It's not just the language of the outside agitators and the media who focus on condemning rioters and looters give oppressive leaders the cover they need to make statements like this.
So what that tells me is that two things. We didn't have protests last night. We had criminal acts. We didn't have people mourning the death of this man, George Floyd. We had people capitalizing. His death is on their hands as much as it is those officers. And that is a strong statement.
Oh, dang, but oh, he misspoke. Did he mean to say George Floyd's death is not at all on looters' hands? Anyone who says that would be a giant chode. It's entirely the officer's fault and they should all be in jail? Oops, what a line to get all tongue-tied on and then immediately acknowledge that, quote, that is a strong statement and move on and then apologize. Do you see the game now? This obsession with finding out who the bad protesters are also provides cover to Trump, who is now threatening to send the U.S. military to states to attack protesters and is currently deploying the military against D.C.'s own citizens. Trump blames the protests on anarchists and Antifa and has somehow declared Antifa as being a terrorist organization, despite the fact that Antifa is not an organization, has no leadership, and has no official members, and also despite the fact that nobody self-described as Antifa has ever actually killed anyone in the name of Antifa. And as we've discussed, the damage during these protests are caused by a wide range of people and ideologies and feelings. And gee, how are you going to crack down on the terrorist organization, Antifa, if it has no official members or leadership? Gosh, you might end up accidentally arresting any old protester and claim they're Antifa and try charging them as a terrorist and suspending their civil liberties completely on accident. Whoops. Like how at that same press conference with that asshole who should be fired, he said the night before they arrested 700 people and proudly he said 70 of them were looting and rioting. So 10%. That's an F. That's a real bad F you did there, guy. Failed the test. That's the point with all of these. You demonize a vague other, an enemy, and you include everyone in it. Ted Cruz, that fascist prick, wrote a bill to declare Antifa a terrorist organization. And in it, he used the words Antifa and left-wing activism interchangeably. But, those aren't the same, Ted. Those aren't the same at all, Ted. In fact, in the United States of America, a stupid country, environmentalism is an exclusively left-wing cause. This is it, the game. And I think it's important for people who are maybe a little wary of defending the dreaded Antifa, which again is not an organization with members or leadership, nor have they killed anyone, but understand that to the people who want to make them terrorists, everyone is Antifa. They don't care. They hate us all. It'll be 10% Antifa, 90% everybody else. The poem doesn't go, first they came for the socialists, and I said nothing, and they left everyone else alone. They will use it as an excuse to hunt down whatever U.S. citizen they choose. Just take it from Republican representative and fascist prick Matt Gaetz, who said, now that we clearly see Antifa as terrorists, can we hunt them down like we do those in the Middle East? Wow, a U.S. representative calling for war crimes, this time against U.S. citizens instead of people in other countries. Progress! Now, another thing we need to understand here is that we're dealing with a fascist president and a fascist party. And Matt Gaetz is a fascist. All of the GOP, really. Some are merely fascist sympathizers. But they're all, at the very least, fascist collaborators. Matt Gaetz, though, is a fascist. In that he's a cruel fraud who believes in very little and is a complete dumbass. So keep that tweet in mind, and I'm going to find another tweet of his that uses the word Antifa. Because he only started tweeting it recently, like when the protest started and the president was ramping up his whole anti-Antifa thing. You know, his pho thing. So Matt started tweeting Antifa about 3 days before we filmed this. He didn't at all, except one other time, almost a year ago, to the day this will air, on June 7th, 2019. The Antifa follower arrested for assault at my town hall last week today mocks the homicides of former GOP senators. Now, I won't say this tweet isn't crass, but it clearly comes from a place of pointing out that when there are mass shootings, politicians, and traditionally Republicans specifically, will send thoughts and prayers and not do their jobs. Matt would know this if he weren't a fascist idiot prick, but he doesn't, because he is that. So anyway, this Antifa follower, or ISIS follower, if you prefer, assaulted Matt by throwing a red slushy on him. She was fined and spent 15 days in prison. This woman also apparently ran against him in 2016 for a brief period, so she's literally his political opponent. But back to that tweet about hunting down Antifa terrorists like we do in the Middle East. Well, to him, that includes a 35-year-old woman with two kids who threw a red slushy on him. To be fair, he did say ISIS follower, so maybe he'd just imprison her or spy on her for information about the terrorists that she knows in the Antifa. But to be balanced, he wants to hunt them down, right? The soy boy, skinny-jeaned basement dwellers who are dangerous terrorists. The slushy lady. As Umberto Eco wrote about fascism, by a continuous shifting of rhetorical focus, the enemies are at the same time too strong and too weak. Because fascists are lying dopes, like Matt Gaetz. Now, as I said, a lot of the GOP aren't necessarily fascist in their soul, but rather fascist collaborators, because they have been beaten down into tiny, little, just like, puffs of smoke. They are barely there, just so sad. But now, the real fashy elements are coming out. Fascist prick Matt Gaetz is not the only public official calling for war crimes. Republican representative and fascist prick Tom Cotton also wants to do war crimes to U.S. citizens, saying, if local politicians will not do their most basic job to protect our citizens, let's see how these anarchists respond when the 101st Airborne is on the other side of the street. He also called for no quarter for insurrectionists, anarchists, rioters, and looters. No quarter means that combatants should be killed, not taken prisoner. So hey, even more war crimes. It seems like war crime against citizens is like the cool new thing. And no, I'm not talking about using tear gas or shooting at nurses who are treating people, because that's also going on. But I'm talking about how even liberal officials are getting in on the hot trend. Democratic mayor of Los Angeles shut down LA's COVID testing sites, blaming unrest. Philadelphia also shut down its food distribution services to those in need because of fears generated by the protests roiling the area. And Chicago Public Schools said it will shut down its meal program for underprivileged children. Now, I could be wrong, since I'm no expert personally in war crimes, but collective punishment is a war crime, according to Article 33 of the Geneva Convention. And it sure seems like this is collective punishment, basically telling people, oh, you want to protest? We'll shut down your access to food and medical testing sites. Don't blame us, though. Blame the protests. It's for safety. But of course, the person making the most egregious threats against protesters is fascist prick and President Donald J. Trump and his fascist party of sycophants, because he's a strong big boy president who wants to be a fascist dictator when he grows up. Now, to get this fun little cinematic romp that was filmed in North America, Trump had police use violent force and tear gas on peaceful protesters to clear them out from in front of the church. This included members of the church, as in the clergy, who were given no warning of his visit and were forced to leave when riot police tear gassed the area. Can't stress enough that our president tear gassed the church so we could clear out all those God people and give himself a photo op holding the Bible like he's never held a book before in his life.
Outside the White House, protesters facing off against authorities, kneeling and raising their hands in peaceful demonstration. But then, almost suddenly, U.S. Park and Secret Service police began shoving and hitting, striking this Australian news crew as they were live on the air. And as police move in, they fire tear gas on the crowd. While inside the grounds of the White House, a remarkable split screen, the president claiming to be an ally of peaceful protesters.
I am your president of law and order and an ally of all peaceful protesters.
You know how Jesus said the meek shall be tear gassed so Mr. Big Boy President can get a cool photo holding a Bible in a very normal way on the earth? I love that quote. Trump, of course, also is calling for violence against American citizens. He tweeted out, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." And if you're wondering if that means he's condoning executing civilians suspected of property theft, then yeah, you are correct. And even though he tried to walk back his statement saying he meant looting leads to shooting, he is, gasp, lying. His original tweet is actually an exact quote of an infamous line used in the past to justify police violence. In 1967, Miami Police Chief Walter Headley threatened black communities by saying, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." He also said, "We don't mind being accused of police brutality. They haven't seen anything yet." And if you think that Trump using an exact quote from a racist police chief who was pro-police brutality is some kind of weird coincidence, there's a leaked call Trump made to governors where he told them that they should crack down harder on all protesters. He said, "You have to dominate, and you have to do retribution, and you can't do the deal where they get 1 week in jail. These are terrorists. These are terrorists, and they're looking to do bad things to our country." Now look, I'm just a disheveled news guy on the internet, but it seems like classifying protesters as terrorists is maybe a precursor to authoritarianism. Or maybe not a precursor, like maybe it's just an authoritarian move. I don't know. What do you think, Mr. Straw Man Guy? Huh?
Honestly, Cody, I'm scared strawless.
So, I'll hold you later. When people in power ask you to focus on looters and rioters, ask yourself what kind of policies they're trying to justify. And if it's cutting back on human rights and services while increasing the power of an abusive police force, that might be bad. And if you think you won't be affected because you're not one of the bad ones, do you really think we can trust the police when they say they've apprehended looters? Should we take them at their word? Well, let's let this video depicting the Three Stooges, played by police officers, arresting store owners and innocent bystanders, instead of the looters.
This vehicle and those guys over there got out of the other vehicle. There's a gold store in the parking lot, and they were heading to it. And these guys came out and they said, "No, you're not."
Wow.
And he's with us. They're having a standoff here.
Oh my God.
Arguing about why they're not being allowed to break into the place. Here comes the cops. They're trying to flag them down. We're trying to flag down the cops. Oh. Hold on, let me flag him back here. They're driving past us. Oh. Stop.
This is one of the most surreal moments we've seen. What is underway right now in Van Nuys. All right, so here come the police officers
to
help these community members.
The guys on the other side are in cars. All right, here they come. The guys here are trying to stop over there from looting in the cars. All right, now they're telling them. No, no, they're fine.
They're good.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
gosh.
No.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. Joe, to your right. Come on.
He's with us.
He is with me. Sir, they're... Okay, sir. They're the store owners. They were protecting the looters, sir.
Whoa.
They're protecting the store. The looters are over there.
Stand down for a sec, please.
Relax. You're losing your looters. They're taking down that way. These are the people the store trying to stop.
Point. All three of them.
Okay. We're putting those in handcuffs right now.
No, they're not the looters.
One person talk. Where's the looter? Where's the looter?
They're helped protecting this building.
Hey, where'd the looter go?
They were that way.
Hey, description. Black, white, Asian.
African Americans.
To show you how easily and quickly things can go wrong or can be misinterpreted.
Wow.
Christina.
This is one of the wildest things I've ever seen. And then to see that.
Now they're taking the woman from the car. She's not involved. She just stopped to look.
Not only are looting, violence, and rioting terms used as an excuse to turn a blind eye to the reason for unrest, to justify the suspension of civil liberties, and to try to call for state violence against civilians, it's also interesting in how these terms are selectively applied. Looting, violence, and rioting are terms that have a very specific use in America. We reserve the term looting for the unruly underclass stealing, often from large insured corporations. But you know what we don't call looting? Civil forfeiture. Civil forfeiture is when police loot, sorry, I mean, it's when police seize money or property from people who they merely suspect of a crime without ever charging them, and they just get to keep it. I wonder what it's called when you take something that belongs to someone else and you keep it. It is on the tip of my tongue. It's good police work. Or what about the redistribution of public funds during a pandemic to the wealthy? Is that looting? Is it looting when the cops arrest a woman who was trying to buy tampons for being outside during curfew, who took her phone and haven't returned it? Only when the lower class steals from the upper class is it looting. If it's the police or upper class stealing from the lower class, it's called seizure or tax breaks. So if your concern right now is some people looting and not the police marching in and brutalizing protesters, I think I might need to give you a gentle reminder that human lives are more important than fucking property. Something that U.S. institutions ritually ignore when they loot from citizens and people in countries we constantly invade. Now, let's talk about that other word the media keeps using in the phrase looting, violence. Violence. Used in the context of these headlines, you might believe that most of the violence is coming from protesters. Would it shock you to hear that maybe this isn't the case? Maybe the people armed with rubber bullets, tear gas, clubs, and SUVs might be perpetrating the majority of violence during these protests. I'm talking about the cops, of course. That's a picture of Chase, an adorable German Shepherd puppy who is a cop in the children's show Paw Patrol. Can we get a picture of a real cop?
No!
That's the reality of cops in America. Police allowing their dog to attack a man already on the ground with his hands held behind his back. This is not an incident from the protest. It happened on April 10th, where the man being attacked by the dog while holding his hands behind his back. Let's see here. He was charged with felony resisting arrest. Huh. So So this is just one example of the kind of abuse that people are protesting right now. And in a move that surprises exactly no one who has been paying attention, the cops are brutalizing the protesters who are protesting police brutality. And so right now, we're going to show a bunch of short clips of police going out of their way to abuse peaceful protesters, even just random people. And there are so many just within the last few days across the nation that we can't show them all, even though we're going to put multiple clips up at the same time and probably like speed some of them up while we play them. Because to be clear, the police are actually loving this. You'll see. You might notice if you watch local news or national news or just the news, the mainstream media, there are two things going on. People looting stores over here, but over here, somewhere else, are the police and the mostly peaceful protesters. They're saying they're two different things. There are the looters, and then there are the protesters. Functionally, this makes the looters not care about the protests, and the protesters not participate in the looting. So not only are you saying riots are the language of outside agitators that have nothing to do with this, but you're saying that protesters aren't a part of the looting, so any police violence you see surely was justified. But you don't see footage of riot police arresting people taking iPads. You see reporters being like, look at the looting! It's happening! For shame! Because the cops don't care about the looting. Allowing vandalism and looting to happen helps shape public opinion against the protest as a whole, leaving them to spend their time having fun with the protesters. Do we have a clip? Oh, we have like 50? Great. Because I don't want to harsh your delicate sensibilities. But again, the police are fucking loving this in their little outfits. It's a police riot. If there was ever a moment to perfectly show what I'm talking about, it's this clip out of Seattle. So that's the police on the right and the protesters on the left. Now maybe go back and watch that clip again. Tell me who you think instigated the violence. Da 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 and so on. Here's a hint. It wasn't the people on the left. Here's another angle where you can clearly see that the entire ordeal starts when a cop grabs a random person's umbrella before that tug of war results in a full-on attack on the protesters. Because the police want and will find any reason they can to turn the peaceful demonstration into a riot so they can justify their brutality. Because it's a police riot. And sure, much like there are gonna be some shitty looters in the mix, there are going to be some good cops, as good as a cop can be, trying their darndest to connect with and show the illusion of solidarity with protesters. Because people are like human beings and junk. But also, if they were really good, maybe they wouldn't just do a few hugging photo ops and actually quit the job where they're part of a system designed to brutalize minorities to the point that many of those same hug it out cops were beating protesters moments later. So yeah, sure, there's a few nice cops, but that doesn't mean they're good. These PR stunts, this propaganda, it's de-escalation, which is good, but it's not solidarity. Solidarity would be quitting, putting down your riot gear, protecting people from the riotous thugs terrorizing people in the streets, the cops. So yeah, there are some clips going around of real cool folks in blue, a bunch of cool Fonzie types, in that they seem friendly, but also have the belief structure of someone in the 1950s. What there sure are a lot more clips of, however, are the many cases of blatant police brutality during these protests. Not because the police are inherently violent or anything. Just by accident, over and over again, surely. But before we finally get to the police being violent randomly, by accident, and how their long history of brutalizing people with impunity should not be looked into, it's time for another ad for Officer Badgy the Murderer's unpeeled applesauce chunks. Log on to Officer Badgy the Murderer's unpeeled applesauce chunks.gov and be sure to use promo code 40% of police families report experiencing domestic abuse for 40% off. Get out of here. Okay, so it would take hours to show you all of these clips. So here's what we're able to cram into a few minutes. A warning, this is definitely going to get graphic and show violence by police against protesters. So if you're well accustomed to the trauma of police brutality and would like to not have to see all of that, skip to the timestamp being shown on the screen. If you somehow don't think police brutality is a big deal, how did you find this video? And also, don't you dare skip this section. Action.
Y'all saw that? He just hit that girl.
This situation. In no way was I aggressive towards this police officer, and I did not even get in his physical space. He was walking in my direction, told me to move, and because I didn't move out of his way in time, he threw me out of the way.
They shot in her eye! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Are you okay, ma'am? Are you okay?
He's bleeding out of his ears! guys, come to me right now. 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 Come to me. Come to me right now. This woman just got tased. Come to me right now. Come to me right now.
It's a super cool montage. Some real super bad stuff. Bad like the bad boy Harry Bosch, who never plays by the rules. Or maybe he does. I don't know. I've never seen the show. Bosch! Officer Badgie says, Bosch, Bosch, watch Bosch. Check it out on Amazon Prime. Bosch, folks. I'm sorry. This is all the worst. I don't know how to cope beyond saying the word Bosch a lot. So they're the instigators, I guess is my point. The police. All the little Bosches. They're the rioters. It's a police riot. They are literally saying, shoot those motherfuckers when it comes to protest. Like, literally saying that.
What's the location for the 77?
Shoot those motherfuckers. Don't put that over yet.
They're absolutely ghouls. All of them. Or bastards, if you prefer. The fuzz. The old beak runners. Cannon shooters. Hobby bobbies. Constables, as they are called overseas, or just scum pig fucks. Okay, sure, some of them are, I assume, very fine people. Like, here's rare footage of police showing restraint and not using pepper spray or rubber bullets during a protest. This was during the lockdown protest, when a bunch of white people were upset they couldn't get haircuts. So it turns out, police actually do know how not to escalate a protest. Just not one about racial justice. How totally unsurprising that these are the types of cops that white privileged people, the upper class, and reactionaries get, and everyone else gets this. And you could probably say that this is why so many privileged folk seem somehow surprised by all of this. But honestly, there are only so many times this can happen before there's no excuse for not realizing it. The same way people seem so surprised that a racist like Donald Trump could become the president after 8 years of deeply racist attacks on Obama. People are now circling around the idea that this is somehow all Trump's doing. As if before his election, there was zero police violence in America. Like, don't get me wrong. Trump is, not helping. But this didn't start with him. This is a bipartisan racism, a deeply rooted American dysfunction of the police and government. Examples of which we saw under the aforementioned progressive Obama with protests like Ferguson and Standing Rock. People seem surprised that the police are attacking and arresting journalists, a thing they are very much doing and is very much messed up. Like, fucking wow. Way to turn your Bible-clasping tough boy photo op into an international affair. Nothing says we're literally living in a political cartoon about state suppression of free speech than a journalist being literally shot in the throat. But this is also a thing they were doing back in 2014 during the Ferguson protests. I mean, it's way worse now because everything is slowly getting worse on account of no one in the government doing anything about this for a long time. Oh, really? Obama? We have to translate this unrest into laws and action? Gee, I wonder if there was an opportunity for you to have done that. I guess we'll never know. But at least you also have no sympathy for rioters who are thugs. It's the same stuff. I can't stress enough how damaging Donald Trump is to our country. But in order to fix this, the first thing we need to realize is that this problem will continue well after him. Because the people in power are inherently ignorant of the actual situation. Just ask Joe, why not just shoot them in the leg Biden, aka our best hope for the future? AKA the guy who, during the Reagan administration, pushed for Reagan to put more money into incarceration in the war on drugs, saying these types of budget cuts certainly would seem to contradict a serious effort to develop a federal drug strategy. And also, just as I criticized the Carter administration for a lack of innovative ideas in this area, I will criticize this administration if promises and rhetoric are not soon replaced by results. He went on to push the Anti-Drug Abuse Act of 1986, which disproportionately punished the selling of crack cocaine way worse than the selling of powder cocaine and seemed designed to target African Americans. Oh, and check out this fun clip.
We changed the law so that if you are arrested and you are a drug dealer, under our forfeiture statutes, you can, the government can, take everything you own. Everything from your car to your house, your bank account, not merely what they confiscate in terms of the dollars from the transaction that you just got caught engaging in. They can take everything. We have laws in the last several years where we don't allow judges' discretion to sentence people. Flat time sentencing. You get caught, you go to jail. Well, all of these tools have been at the president's disposal for the last 100 weeks and more. Now, if America's crime problem is worse than it ever was, it's not because the Congress has failed to give the president the tools. It's done its part, but rather because the administration has failed to use the power given to it by the Congress over the last 5 years, and in particular the last 100 weeks, to bring this epidemic under control.
Ah, yes. There he is in 1991, praising such totally not fucked up judicial tactics as flat time sentencing and goddamn civil forfeiture. I think we talked about that earlier, right? It's a thing that Joe Biden specifically was integral to developing as a federal policy. And again, he's our best hope. The better of the two candidates running for president this year. Which is a long way of saying that this problem goes far beyond this current president. It's deep, foundational, and needs to fucking stop. So, the question, I guess, is, how? How do we stop all of this? How do we move forward in a way that doesn't involve burning it all down and starting over? Unless you're into that. But also, isn't just a series of empty gestures that ultimately lead nowhere until we're on the streets the same time next year. No doubt dealing with some kind of super coronavirus that makes you sneeze blood and manifests as your worst fear in the world. Like, we kinda know what everyone will be talking about. We know that there should be retraining of police to focus on de-escalation. There were, in fact, proposals happening in Minnesota right before this all went down. And yeah, sure, we can do that. Adding better qualifications state by state isn't the worst idea, but it's also a conversation we've been having for a very long time. We clearly need something better than that. So to start, we should probably listen to what the protesters are saying. It's a wild idea, I know, but...
We need to get with our representatives of Utah and actually talk to them. A congressman, Fred Brink, down in West Valley. We need to go to the websites, us.gov, Utah, so we can start voting and start implementing our infrastructure that we need to see in the system for justice.
In Utah, personally, I've had interactions with the police in Davis County, and they investigate themselves. And when you have a police agency or a buddy, Centerville, Farmington, Davis County, and they investigate each other, of course they're always innocent. And that's the biggest problem is there's no accountability.
Just tell me why, I know what's the message you want to get out?
The message that I want to get out is that there is a huge difference in America between white Americans and black Americans. They are treated very differently. And although I do not want white Americans to experience what we have experienced from the police, I want the police to come to an agreement with us to give us the same opportunity to have the same protection from them that white Americans have. Latinos, we need the same protection for Latinos. We all want to be treated like people. That's it. Police brutality is out of control.
Right now, Black Visions, as well as Reclaim the Block and other community members are, and for the last several years, have been calling on our city council and mayor to divest from the police and invest in community-led safety solutions. We want justice for George Floyd, and we know that justice isn't enough. And now is the time to defund the police and invest in community.
They want accountability for police and to be treated with the same respect that white people do and to not live in fear. Just, you know, the basics. And also, this guy staying on a horse, we should probably give him whatever he wants. Also, that last lady kind of had a neat idea there. Something that Black Lives Matter has also suggested, which is to defund the police. Now, you're probably wondering what that means and why it seems like a good solution. If you recall, back in the soothing days of 2019, we did a video about something called warrior training, a totally fucked up mentality surrounding police culture that encourages them to think of themselves as a clan of Batmen stopping all the 9/11s by murdering black people in their homes. And yes, I said clan with a K. I won't get into it, but you should watch it. Like and subscribe, you know, all that stuff. Anywho, in that video, we noted that many cities and states were working to ban warrior training. One of which being Minneapolis. And as a response, the police union in that city actually fought back by offering free warrior training in defiance of the ban. Meaning that despite the government flat out saying, we no longer want police to do this thing because it is bad. The police were all like, fuck the man, fuck the man, and did it anyway. Because it turns out, that police reform doesn't work if they don't listen to the reform. And they won't listen to the reform if there are no consequences for that. And that's not the only reform that Minneapolis has tried. Nothing sticks. So if the police don't want to be part of the solution, we have to do it without them. And the way to do that is dramatically cut their budget and use the money to establish new services designed to actually handle the problems of a community. In other words, if we can't change police culture to handle the complexities we demand from them, we have to take away their power and start something new from the ground up. We need a system where if you dial 911, you don't get sent the same type of authorities for overdoses and mental health issues as you do for robberies and murders, or for pretending that you're being attacked by a black man because he told you to put your dog on a leash because you were supposed to have your dog on a leash, Karen! Point being, first responders can't exclusively be aggro bros with bang-bang warrior erections, as seen earlier in the everywhere part of this episode. A surprisingly good comparison for how the system could work is what we do in hospitals, which should also maybe be funded by taxes. But one of those extremely obvious things we don't think about is that healthcare workers have to deal with a lot of physical violence and actually have one of the highest rates of non-fatal violent injuries on the job, sometimes surpassing police depending on the specific occupation and location. Obviously, this is why hospitals have security and will call the police if things get really bad. But the medical professionals are always on the front lines in terms of a sudden and violent situation. But since doctors don't tend to carry guns, unless they're cool, it meant that hospitals trained their people in a lot of de-escalation techniques, reading body language to detect threats, and something called a tactical pause, which is pretty much what it sounds like, and involves taking a moment to step back and reapproach to gain control of a situation. These are things cops also know, but don't utilize nearly as much because of the whole gun thing. But also the whole the knee thing, I guess. So maybe cops shouldn't have knees as well. Just a thought. Anyway, it's not perfect. It's never perfect. But what if police presence started with people who aren't armed and whose job is to simply de-escalate and assess threats? And if things get worse, you slowly call upon people who are trained specifically to deal with that. And those two types of people don't work for the same organization and therefore could hold each other accountable. Also, and this is just heartbreakingly basic, but we need to set a national standard for what cops can and can't do, something we don't actually do right now. For example, at the moment, only 8 states require police to give verbal warnings to suspects before using lethal force. I won't tell you which, so you'll have to drive around the US figuring it out for yourself. Fun little game for you. That's from a study by Amnesty International, by the way, who in 2015 very politely pointed out that exactly zero American states meet the global standards for use of force by the police. Big fucking shocker. Neat fact, you see, because it turns out that other countries have sweeping standards for human rights as it pertains to police. A thing we don't have. Just like we don't have national standards for really anything the police do, down to how they choose to hire and train officers. In some states, cops can use lethal force for riots, jailbreaks, or just whatevers. Certain states don't even require the situation to be life-threatening before the cop can shoot someone. And other states are totally different. Amnesty International also pointed out there isn't a single U.S. state that has any laws in place for holding officers accountable for breaking whatever random-ass rules that state has. And I don't know what is more troubling, the fact that states have hilariously low standards for when a cop can kill someone, or that those standards are decided on a state level. It is absolute madness and deeply disheartening that the problems are this fucking basic. So, okay, let's think for a second. If I were President Cody, king of all things, this is probably what I would go for. Number one, maybe let's establish some clear national guidelines for human rights when confronted by the police. Perhaps by adapting what they already have overseas. Number two, we stick to those guidelines by also establishing consequences for police who break those laws. Number three, we slowly defund the police, starting with the ones that have the most problems, and in its place, begin to establish organizations designed to assist the community before the presence of cops is needed. We create public positions to handle drug overdoses, mental health issues, low-level crime, domestic violence, see, more cop oversight, see there, and so on. And because of the new standards in place, we can expect police to slowly change their tactics to follow with the human rights standards we give them. And finally, we give the horse guy whatever he wants. Don't forget horse guy. He's the key to all of this. Of course, I'm not President Cody of all things yet. So the best we can do is get out in the streets, show solidarity when we can, give support to protesters if you can't get in the streets, give to bail funds helping protesters who are disproportionately arrested compared to looters, and boost and elect the officials who also want these things we've talked about in 5 months. That'll do it. Vote in 5 months. Unless, you know, things get worse and, No! Get out of here, alright? It's not like the president tear gassed protesters and priests and children in order to walk to take a PR photo nobody asked for with a Bible he's never read in front of a church he doesn't care about, like the fucking Antichrist. Fuck! He's holding it up all weird. Like what is that? Why are you holding it like you want it in a science fair? It's a book. Hold it like a book. Fuck. Okay, end of episode.
He did what?
Hey everybody, thanks for making it to the end of this video. If you did, be sure to like, subscribe, do all that YouTube stuff. We've got a Patreon, we have another podcast called Even More News. In the description, we'll have a lot of places that you can donate to if you'd like to help out. We also have, I believe, in big letters, fuck the police.